Hi there, and welcome to the Man in the Van podcast, your regular audio drive time companion, where our main aim is education through a conversation. Through our conversations, delve deep into all things related to the tradesperson contracting community, from news to education to industry happenings, helping you do better business while building a better and improved South African tradesmen and women contracting community. Thanks for tuning in. Let's start the conversation.
It's a warm welcome to our audience, to you, the listener out there. My name is Willem Klopper. I am your host. And in this episode, we will have a conversation with the National Technical Training Manager of IOPSA, Mr. Gerry Botha, to discuss his role as the National Technical Training Manager and what it entails, as well as what led Gerry to enter the plumbing industry and to achieve this role. We'll also discuss with Gerry some of the challenges that he recognizes through his position and his role and how those can be addressed. Gerry, thanks a stack for coming through to studio today and for your time and effort in being here.
Thank you, Willem, and good morning to our listeners out there.
Just before we give our guests the opportunity to introduce themselves, have a listen to this. We'd like to remind our audience that this episode is proudly brought to you by Articulated Plumber. This year, various role players in the plumbing industry will gather once more for an ultimate boxing showdown, and it's all in the name of charity.
Yes, the plumbing industry is gearing up for this year's Champions for Charity boxing match.
This white-collar boxing event will ultimately see various average Joes step into the ring and give boxing a bash.
If you want to find out more about sponsorships or want to get involved, please email c4c@pirb.co.za for more.
Right, Gerry, this is my normal, my tradition, my routine, if you could call it like that. I've got quite a few questions for you, but before I fire away with that, just for you to introduce yourself to the audience.
Right, so yeah, you know, I think people will soon realize that I had quite a roller coaster at school, you know, being in a normal academic school. My father had a construction business. And school holidays was a rumor, especially in the higher grades. So, you know, it was one of those things, 6 o'clock in the morning, get up, get into the truck, we're going to work. So that's what happened. And you get to, I think it started to grow on me, being in that environment. And I'm very thankful for that, today. That's where I learned to weld and to do all of these things, which I wouldn't have learned in the normal course of life. So that's where it started out. And then obviously, you know, after school, people tend to ask, so what are you going to do after school? And at that point in time, we still had the responsibility regarding going to the army. And my thing was, I don't want to go to the army. So I decided I want to go to the police force. Mm. And that obviously had certain reactions, especially from my mom. Mm-hmm. Saying that, are you crazy? And I said, no. You know, that's my decision. I'd rather do that.
Army is the thing.
Army is the thing. I have to do it. So, you know, you don't really have a choice about these things. So, but yeah, I can make a choice to say, instead of going to the army, running around in the dust all day, I'd rather do something that contributes towards something positive. Mm-hmm. And that's why I then joined the police force. So, in this period before I could finish, my father unfortunately passed away, and
that's while you were in service.
Yeah, I was still in service at that point in time. So he passed away, and you know, myself and my father were very big buddies, and it was quite a setback for me. It took me a long time to actually, you know, get through this, and I wanted to then carry on with the business that he's had. But due to certain powers, they said they will not release me, and eventually that business was closed down. So there's my career opportunity is now gone. Mm. So after the whole army police force thing, I had to make another plan, because now what's next? Mm. So then I applied with one of the big banks. And I started working at the bank as a repossession clerk. Obviously, due to the history with the SAP thing, I thought it might be not a bad idea for a guy coming out of that environment.
You have to have a certain mindset.
Maybe your angle, you know, looking at these things is a bit different to the average guy. So I did that and I eventually ended up in the legal department where people are sued and you know, this whole process. But in this whole process, I started again on the sideline doing small construction projects, you know, renovating a kitchen and fixing roofs. And so because of, I think, the exposure that I had at school, it became part of me. And obviously there was a desire for me to go back in that direction. And that business started growing. So eventually after more or less 10 years in the bank, I decided to go and do this thing full time.
Uh-huh.
So I then started general construction, like I think most people do, you know, the handyman thing.
Yes.
So then started getting involved in bigger projects with construction, building specifically. Then eventually I got interested in the plumbing arena.
Because construction and plumbing, they
well, they work hand in hand, yeah.
Exactly.
So you will not have a structure without water,
mm-hmm.
And hopefully not without a toilet. So,
yeah.
And I realized that plumbing, you know, when you speak to the normal guy in the street and you're talking about plumbing, he envisions a toilet and a tap with water.
Mm.
And I can tell you, plumbing is not only about that.
Absolutely.
There is a lot of science and a lot of things involved in having a proper plumbing installation that works and that will keep on working for the next 50, 60, 80 years.
From every podcast that I've had, many technical podcasts, Harry, and I can tell you now, I'm a consumer, I'm not a plumber, but from what I've learned, it is an intricate and complex trade. It is not as simple as what the average consumer out there thinks it is.
Definitely not. I can tell you now that, maybe I'm a very proud plumber, I must say that, but maybe I'm a bit arrogant. Because in my opinion, without proper plumbing, nobody will survive.
Yeah.
Because if there's no proper clean drinking water, who's going to survive? If there's no way to convey your soil or your waste, people will start dying. And that's a fact.
It's unhealthy. It's unhygienic.
So yes, it's not only conveying whatever soil there is or getting the water there. It's also to get it there so that it's safe.
I always say the average consumer only realizes the value of plumbing work and plumbers when they don't have proper plumbing in their homes and when it's not fully functional.
Well, yes, definitely so. I mean, you can imagine for yourself, and I think the ladies will connect to this quite fast. If the geezer blows, they will tell you, I don't care what you do, I want hot water tonight. So... and yes, you only realize these things once you are in need.
Yeah.
But it starts at the beginning at the installation. It's not only,
exactly.
You know, now we've got to fix this problem.
Yeah.
And there's no shortcuts, I can tell you that. People do take shortcuts, or they try to take shortcuts at times, maybe mainly due to the fact that they haven't been educated properly.
Uh-huh.
They haven't been trained properly. They do not understand, in a lot of instances, the components that they are working with. What are the functions? How do they work? And what can happen if I do this wrong?
The risks associated.
Immense risks involved. You know, if you're talking drainage system, everybody would realize, you know, when you get close to a drain because there's a smell.
Mm.
Now that smell is gas. It's methane gas, and that can kill you.
Exactly.
So if there's a problem there and it hasn't been done correctly, people die.
Mm.
And if there's a flame put to that, it can explode. So, yeah, there's a lot of things there. But coming back to my career path.
This is where you got involved and started to find more interest in the plumbing trade when you were involved in the construction.
So I realized, you know, there's so many materials nowadays on the market as well. You know, back in the day, you used to have galvanized piping, and then they started with copper. Now you have all this polyethylene plastic type of things, and... You know, I can't even try and remember how many of these types of materials are involved nowadays, and each has got a specific function. And not everything is applicable to every installation. So if you really start to think about it, if you want to have a Mini Cooper and you put 32-inch rims on it, I don't think you're going to get far. So yes, in the plumbing is the same thing. You know, if you oversize or you overestimate or whatever, you're not going to get the end result that you're looking for.
It won't be functional.
No, definitely not. So in any case, yeah. So I got involved I got more interested in the plumbing arena because I saw, you know, there's way more intricacies than most people will realize. And I got really interested in this, eventually going into the solar, doing solar geyser installations, heat pumps. So, that's where my interest lies. So I took quite a journey getting to actually my career, if you really think about that. And I eventually also realized, but I need to get some or other document or a certificate to say I'm a qualified...
Exactly, some form of qualification.
So, and amazingly enough, you think you know everything until you get to that trade test situation, then you realize you don't know anything. And you know, I've been in this type of industry now, specifically starting from construction, close on 30 years now, and I'm still learning.
Exactly.
So, my argument is this: the day you stop learning, even if you think you know everything, I can tell you now there is something that you will not know yet.
Even if it's something that already exists that you don't know about yet and that you can still learn about. But the fact is that technology evolves. You know, there will always be new materials, new types of components, new equipment, new tools, new methods.
The whole life evolves,
yeah.
And improves, hopefully for the better. But... even so, you know, if you look at all the aspects, I was talking to a group of students the other day. If you just look at the regulations that regulates plumbing, the plumbing industry, if you have to put those volumes in, if I can try and explain to the listeners, if you have that on an A4 format, one side printed, and you would like to file those in a lever arch file that we all know the normal, you know, the standard lever arch file, you're looking at about 8 files.
Just like.
So there is no way that any person can remember everything that's written in there. That person still needs to be born. So in my opinion, that's actually your training manual, is that regulation, because it tells you what is the legal way and the correct way to do install components. And what I think a lot of people, where they miss the point, is that the regulation is there for the protection of the consumer.
Exactly.
So if you now deal with a person that does not have that qualification, or that does not have sufficient knowledge, or that does not know what component to use and in what context must I use it, it can become life-threatening.
Exactly.
And we've had in the recent past quite a number of geyser explosions. I don't know if you can recall a couple of years ago, 3 people that died in a drainage ditch where they wanted to clear the municipal blockage, and they went in and they never came out. So they were overwhelmed by these gases in there, and 3 of them died. So
that and one of the most recent articles that I read about is electric shock in the shower and in the bathtub.
Yes, and it's small things. Mm. And once again, you know, coming back to the lady wanting hot water tonight. Sometimes you need to realize that, yes, I can give you hot water, but what's the quality going to be? And are there maybe risks involved with rushing this job, not doing it properly? So, I'm not slamming the consumer. It's your right, yes. But maybe you should realize it's not that easy.
Exactly.
To just disconnect and reconnect and everybody's happy. In that process, there are certain things that needs to happen in a correct way, or else it might be you know, you might have hot water with a shock tonight.
Just before we continue the conversation, have a listen to this.
Introducing the Plumbing Industry Registration Board Company Registration Portal. Now you can register your company to have access to more benefits, including purchasing and allocating certificates of compliance to your PRB registered employees. Visit www.pirb.co.za to find out more information. Plumber training has never been easier with articulated plumber courses. Enroll now to upskill yourself at your own pace and earn CPD points. Our informative and easy to follow courses can be found on iopsitraining.co.za. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Articulated Plumber.
You mentioned the regulations that exist and that plumbing work has to comply with that, but it also has to comply with national standards for that matter.
Well, those regulations are the national standards, and they're all backed up by the Water Services Act. The Water Services Act says that these types of installation needs to comply to these regulations. So it's law. So, you know, it's like driving a car. You can make the decision whether you want to stop at the stop sign.
Exactly.
But you, the person that's driving, in other words, in this instance, the consumer, can make the decision whether I want to have this installation corrected or not. But if there is then a problem in the future somewhere, it's going to come off your budget.
Yeah.
And it's going to cost you.
Yeah.
And the risk is going back to you. So I think it's important that the consumers understand that you also have a responsibility when it comes to these things. You know, will you allow a person that's, even if he's 80, 90, 20 years old, never touched the steering wheel, will you hand over your keys of your Jag or your Ferrari to this person?
For sure not.
Well, you know, in most instances, a property is most people's biggest asset. That's what they live for. That's what they work for. Now, why would you ruin this for yourself, for other people, by not having a proper installation done?
A properly qualified person doing that installation. And this was where we left off when we said that you realized that you needed that proper qualification.
You know, that goes without saying. So I realized at some stage after doing these things, but to promote myself, I need to get some form of a document to say that, you know, yes, this person can actually do what he's doing. So, yeah, it took me quite a roundabout way, and only 15 years ago, I actually got my qualification.
Later.
So, yes, I got my qualification. At that point in time, I did the level 4 training through a company called Watersmith, and then I got challenged. People didn't want to accept it, although it was a qualification, it was a document, and it was accepted wherever. There were certain people that said, but you don't know what you're doing. You never did the trade test. So they challenged me to go and do the trade test, and I did the trade test. I went, did the trade test where it normally takes you 2 days. It took me 6 hours. So I finished the trade test within six hours, got my qualification, and Bob's your uncle. So there we go.
That's that red seal they call the red seal.
That's the red seal they're talking about. So, and I think this will also demonstrate to you it's all about I think, you know, when you're talking artisan, and I'm not only talking about plumbers, I'm talking electricians, bricklayers, carpenters, all of these type of guys, it's like being an athlete. You have to practice.
Yeah.
You know, if you practice 7 days a week, 8 hours a day, then it becomes a natural thing. You just do it. And I always say, when you're in training, you need to aspire to become an athlete in your field. An Olympic athlete.
A professional athlete.
That's it. So you need to do this all the time, and you need to remember how to do it, and that becomes a natural way of doing things. Hopefully, you've got the regulations, and you're doing it according to what the regulations say, and then you can't really go wrong. So yes, so then I obtained my qualification, and about 5 years ago, I got to the point where I felt, you know what, I've done this now for quite a while. I think I know fairly well what I'm doing. And I think it's now I'm at the point where I need to start transferring the skill and the experience that I have.
And the knowledge.
And the knowledge to the next generation. Mm. Because I'm not going to be around forever. So, you know, and that's, I think, where my role as the technical training manager now plays a big role.
Yes.
In the training environment itself. And people need to realize that not everybody is academically inclined. Yeah. I am not one of those guys. I can tell you now, at school, academics to me was a rumor. As long as I passed, that was good.
As you much know, as school holidays were.
School holidays, well, they were a rumor as well. So, you know, so sport, activity, those type of things, that was where I shined.
Excelled.
So I was not.
But you have a natural apt for technical things. Well, and that's, there's no shame to
and
it.
And I think, you know, I hope people realize that not everybody can be a doctor or a lawyer or an attorney or whatever. There are people like me that can work with their hands.
Exactly.
But we need to allow them to work with their hands, and we need to give them the opportunity to go for proper training.
Yeah.
So that they can get a proper qualification, so that they can excel in their career. And I can tell you, once again, maybe I'm a bit arrogant, but in my opinion, even if you're a doctor or an attorney or an accountant, you will not have a fancy office if it's not for the simple artisan, the guy that laid the bricks, the electrician, the sparky that connected the electricity, and the plumber that provided the water and is looking after your sewer system.
Let's put it straightforward. Let's call a spade a spade. Civilization cannot exist
definitely
without plumbing.
Well, we know that. You know, I always make the comparison nowadays with this whole COVID situation. And I say, you know what, can you imagine if all the plumbers in South Africa, for argument's sake, decide this Friday they down their tools, they're not going to work anymore. Mm. And I can tell you, if that happens, within 21 days, you're not going to have enough doctors, hospitals, or medical staff to treat. People will start dying. Mm. And that's a simple thing, and it's a fact.
Yeah.
So, you know, we need to maybe respect other people for what they do as well. I think there's a place under the sun for everybody.
For the trades, the careers, the trades that they choose.
Definitely so.
And the apt that they have, definitely, and the passion that they have for those industries.
We need to guide these guys. Mm. If that's what he wants and that's what he wants to do, rather help him than to try and discourage him and point him in another direction. Mm. The amazing fact is that of all the university degrees, if I can put it that way, so that's generalizing maybe, doctors, attorneys, all of these guys. Of all the people that actually does qualify out of university, only about 10% follow that career path until the day he dies.
We spoke about that just before we started recording.
Yeah, that's amazing that, you know, we have this idea. I want to become an attorney. Because there's a certain status, you know, connected to this. And I think the public out there should realize it's not only the attorney or the doctor or the dentist that's important.
And that carries value.
That carries value.
And whose services carry
exactly
value.
So, you know, if you go to the doctor, you don't argue his fees. Mm. Why do you argue the plumber's fees?
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Yeah.
He's also a qualified person. He's a qualified person, and he's entitled to his labor.
Yeah.
That is obviously being said, if he's a qualified person and he's got the skills and the knowledge. Mm.
Hence, this is where we left off earlier again, where you spoke about the role of the National Technical Manager.
Yes.
And the effect that it has on people getting the correct training.
Yes.
The correct qualification.
Yeah. So what we do also is that we're not only looking at students, you know, from school level or school leavers. We are starting now, we're also busy with a program now, where we're at school already starting to introduce them into the plumbing arena to make them understand that it's not only about having water at a tap and having a sewer system to convey this oil. Mm. There's a lot involved. The industry is very far and wide. And I can tell you now, if you think people like doctors make money, plumbers also make money.
Yeah.
I can tell you there are plumbers out there that has made themselves financially independent through plumbing. So people don't realize this.
It can be such a lucrative career.
Definitely so. Once again, you know, it all comes down to how qualified are you? Mm. How good are you with what you're doing? Mm. And in the end, I always say you will be measured against your last job that you did. Mm. So if you messed up somewhere, that rumor spreads like wildfire.
For sure.
So I always intended to be the person to say, if the job, when the job is finished, I would stand back and say, if this was my house, would I be happy? Mm. So I think that's how I measured myself. And I hope some of our, all of our artisans out there will do the same, adopt this, to say, if this was mine, and if it was my family living in this house, would I be happy and feel comfortable and feel safe?
Mm.
That's the first test. Mm. So, and then obviously, I wanted to always be the guy. If they think about plumbing, my name must just come up.
Yeah.
Must be there.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's important because, and that's where training plays a big role.
Yeah.
From the community's perspective. And there are some, I can tell you that there are some brilliant plumbers out there that doesn't have a qualification.
But that's certainly, that's one of the in your position, in your role as National Technical Training Manager, that's certainly an issue and a problem that you've realized through your role.
Yeah, so you know, we've realized it a couple of years ago. So we have now also started introducing what we call ARPL, which is a recognition of prior learning. So it's a person with experience, without a qualification, and we then guide that person through, obviously, accredited training facilities to actually obtain his qualification and to fill the gaps on those topics that he doesn't know anything about or doesn't know enough about. So that's part of why I'm here and also part of our training department in NIOPSA, as we get involved in the training of our plumbing artisans. From, as I say, we're already starting now with at school level information. We're trying to also inform the consumer.
Mm.
You know, and I think information to the consumer is very important. Mm. And I want to caution the consumer. Don't use a guy standing at the street with a little carton thing saying he's a plumber.
Yeah.
How do you know what this guy's skill level is?
Yeah.
You don't know. You're taking a chance.
Yeah.
You're thinking you're saving 100 rand or 200 rand. But that 200 rand that you save can cost you millions.
Exactly. It's not only the financial risk, Gerry, that we're looking at for the consumers. I mean, if plumbing work is not done correctly, not according to standard, etc., the financial risk, yes, because a cheap job is one that's going to have to be fixed and done again, completed again by another installer. But it's also the health and the safety risk involved in that.
It's a package.
Yes.
If I'm talking financial impact, if you get ill, then there's a financial impact already.
Oh, for sure.
So, you know, we're talking financial, but we're also talking safety, we're talking health, we're talking people's lives, for that matter. Because a small mistake today can cost you and can influence what happens with you for the rest of your life. So, that's part of our journey. Part of my job is to get involved with these accredited training facilities to make sure that they are upholding the standard, that the facilities are of such a nature that they can actually do this training properly, that they've got the equipment, the materials, the know-how, the curriculum. So, that's where I get involved, is to support these guys, to support the plumber out there, and also to support our consumer.
Mm.
Because in the end, if you don't have a proper qualified person with the skills and the knowledge, then there are huge risks. Just coming back to the financial impact, I had a situation a couple of years ago when I was still doing plumbing work myself, where a person asked me for a quote, gave him a quote, and didn't hear anything. 2 weeks later, I phoned him up. I said, I just wanted to find out what is the situation. He says, no, but you're too expensive. I said, okay. So that's fine. You know, it's your decision. I just hope that this person that's going to do this work for you
at a cheaper price
is going to do it properly, is going to use the correct materials, approved materials. In other words, you know,
compliant.
Approved. The material, the component must be compliant to the regulation, and also install it in terms of that regulation. So, yeah, unfortunately, it was a solar installation, and this happened in late November. So, and I said, well, you know, in that instance, it's fine, good luck, have a nice life, and we moved on. So I'm on holiday in December, standing at the sea fishing, and my phone started ringing. And as a rule, I don't answer my phone when I'm on holiday. And then I, after a while, realized it's this person. And I thought, but I've got no connection with him. He's, and I left it. So eventually on the 2nd of January, I phoned the guy back. And he was in tears. He says, can you please help me? I said, why must I come and help you? I didn't do the work. Where's the guy that did the work? No, he cannot get hold of the person. In any case, long story short, eventually got there. So as I approached the house, I thought they must have sandblasted the windows or something, because you couldn't see through the window from the outside, only to realize when I went inside, it's all steam and water. So these people also went on holiday. And one of the safety valve discharge pipes that they should have installed to discharge outside, they never did that properly. And the result was, with it being a solar geyser, this thing heated up every day over a three-week period, and it overheated, and that steaming hot water discharged inside the house, and that piece of pipe would have cost them about, let's say, 250 rand. And the damage to the property eventually ended up 2.5 million. So there's a typical example of a small component, 250 rand, which this guy was cheaper, so let's allow him to do the job. And that's a typical example of what may happen. I'm not saying it will happen. Mm. But the chances are very likely if you use not a qualified person that does not have the skill, does not have the qualification and the knowledge, that you're running the risk.
Mm.
And even the insurance turned a blind eye to this person. They said, but, you know, the terms are simple. The manufacturer's installation specifications are simple. The warranty conditions say that this installation needs to be installed in terms of those standards, which hasn't happened. So sorry for your damage. Sorry for your miserable life you're going to have, but those are the facts.
Yeah.
So he lost that type of money.
And that's all because he chose to use somebody who's cheaper, but it didn't follow the, let's call it the rules for that matter.
Yeah, they basically.
Yeah.
Not within the law. And that's 9 times out of 10 why people are cheaper.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to take shortcuts, you'll be cheap.
Mm.
And so what I'm saying is a skilled person, whether it's a doctor, a dentist, a plumber, an electrician, a bricklayer, he's entitled to that professional fee because he is a professional person.
Mm.
And if a person is qualified and registered with the applicable bodies.
Here we go.
Then you have got a recourse as a consumer.
Exactly.
You can go somewhere.
Yeah.
But if not, you're going to have this fly-by-night thing. The guy disappears. You're not going to get hold of him again.
That's what these industry bodies are for. It's to uplift the quality of services in the industry. It's to uplift the industry. It's to change a perspective with the consumers and to bring to the attention to the consumers the risks that are involved. Like you said, 2.5 million worth of damage just because the guy didn't want to use a properly qualified and a cheaper service provider.
So it's maybe an extreme example, but that's, you know, that's what happens out there every day.
Exactly. Just before we continue the conversation, have a listen to this.
Don't forget to download the all-new and improved App Plumber from the Google Play Store. All your plumbing solutions are just a click away, exclusively for Android users.
At Advanced Valves, respect and integrity are our core values. This means our products have been manufactured with the proud plumber in mind, the one who does not compromise on quality. The proud plumber who saves his customers money and time. You, who values the importance of using SABS approved products. Visit your nearest plumbing store to purchase SA's preferred valve brand. Advanced Valves, your trusted leader in building your reputation. Also available on App Plumber.
You mentioned when you actively worked in the field, in your plumbing industry, in your plumbing company, you were the guy who said you wanted to be the guy who's on everybody's lips.
Yep.
Because of the fact that you realized, Harry, that you are a professional in your trade.
That's it.
And hence the importance of people also, you know, every plumber realizing that, taking that pride in their trade and the work and the services they deliver, and form part of the professional industry, form part of the professional bodies. IOPSA exists, PIRB exists. Register, get yourself part of that support structure, that community of sort of, let's call it like-minded people, like-minded plumbers who actually take pride in their work.
Definitely so, you know, we're talking plumbers now, but the same applies to attorneys and all of these other professional people. There is a body that they need to register to.
Doctors have that body.
And to be able to be continuously connected to that body, you need to develop yourself.
Mm.
You need to keep up to the trend. You need to keep up with what's happening out there with technology. And that's why I'm saying I cannot understand why people or a professional, a so-called professional person, does not want to register with these bodies.
Mm.
Maybe because he needs to now put some extra time, his own personal time in, to study or to get up to date with the regulations. So, you know, this regulation thing is not a piece of stone that's sitting there that's been done for 40 years ago.
And that will never change?
It changes continuously. So you need to keep up to date with what's happening in the industry.
Mm.
And your professional person that's affiliated with a professional body, at least you as the consumer has got the peace of mind that this person hopefully does what he's supposed to do. In other words, he stays professional, he stays updated in his profession, in his industry, and my opinion is you will do much better using a person like that to work or do the work for you than to do a person without that.
Yeah.
So, you know, so yeah, coming back to the training once again, you know, the spectrum is wide, and I feel it's important that the skills guys are getting the recognition that all the other people out there get. And maybe if we change our perception as the community, as the consumer out there, and start looking at these type of things, we will realize we cannot live without these guys.
Yeah.
And we need to support them.
Realize their value.
Support them and help them so that they can also improve themselves. Mm. And by improving themselves, they will deliver a better service to you, the consumer, and also give you peace of mind that you can go to bed tonight and your geyser, which is incidentally overhead, will not explode.
Yeah. Yeah, and that your waste will not sit in the pipes and
push back into your shower.
Or you light a match in your house and the methane gas explodes. Yeah. But Harry, just before I see that we are drawing to a close of this episode, but just before we close it off, I just wanted to get back to the fact that, you know, we discussed your career and your career background and from where you started until where you now fulfill the role of National Technical Training Manager. It's so interesting for me to know, you know, that there's scope within the plumbing industry. You don't always have to be the one who digs the trenches.
Exactly.
You called it continuously develop yourself, professionally develop yourself. You can grow. You can grow from the actual worker that digs the trenches to the guy that owns his own plumbing company. You did that.
Well, you know,
you can then develop into, you can get involved with the industry bodies. You did that. There's scope. There's room to grow, progress, and move forward.
I think the only person that feels limited within his profession is the person that's not willing to grow himself.
And learn more.
To expand and to be better. I can tell you, in the plumbing industry, there are an array of possibilities. You know, from digging the trench. And If you haven't dug a trench as a plumber, then you're not really a plumber. Mm. I can tell you now. You have to do that. You have to understand. You have to do the hard miles. Mm. You know, my late father always used to say, put on your work boots and go work. Mm. Stick out your hands. That certificate is not going to do the job.
Yeah.
You have to go out every day. You're going to stick out your hands. You're going to do the job. And I can tell you, I can give our listeners the guarantee that being a plumber is not only digging trenches and clearing sewer lines. There is a huge spectrum. Mm. You know, you can get involved in the engineering sector. Me as a non-educated, not a highly intelligent person as far as academics is concerned, due to my knowledge of the regulations and how it works, I have actually convinced engineers and architects that they have done the wrong thing when it comes to planning the building.
Mm.
So that's how important the plumber is.
Exactly.
So instead of digging trenches, you need to develop yourself.
Yeah.
Promote yourself. Be better. Become better. Mm. And I can tell you, the opportunities are there. You know, from starting doing basic plumbing, basically let's call it 20, 25 years ago, to where I am today, I feel that I have moved through the ranks, and a lot of this has happened by choice.
Mm.
In other words, I got to a point where I've got the knowledge, I've got the skills, I can do this thing, and I felt I need to transfer.
Mm.
And I sincerely hope that let's call it the older plumbers out there, will start realizing that they need to transfer whatever they have, their knowledge, experience, and skills, to the next generation. We are not going to be around forever. Mm. And hopefully, the potential artisan that's going to start out need to also realize you mustn't narrow your own scope. Mm. You must expand. You must look for the opportunity. And you must grow within your career. Whether you are a doctor, an attorney, doesn't matter. When you're in that type of environment and when you become a professional or want to be professional, you need to expand your own knowledge and improve yourself. And only those people that improve themselves, that are willing to put in the miles, are the people that will achieve at the end and that will and may become financially independent. So you get some attorneys that die poor, and you get some attorneys that die rich.
Mm.
And the same with plumbers.
Yeah.
So it all depends on the person and the support structure that you have around you. And I think that message is one of the most important. If a person makes a career choice, you as the parent, the spouse, support this person.
Mm.
Help him. Help him to grow. And, you know, give him credit for what is due. So, and I think it's important that we understand that everybody has got a choice.
Yeah.
You make your choices, you make your decisions. But my opinion is if you decide to take a road, you go full out.
Mm.
And you will get to a crossroad, you make the decision, which direction am I going? And once again, once you chose that direction, you go full out again until the next crossroad.
Yeah.
So,
Gerry, I think that's a powerful way to end off this episode. Just before we say goodbye, have a listen to this.
Are you a tradesperson or a trading company that is looking for a platform to market your services? Let Articulated speed up the process for you. You can use our podcast to sell your services. Email us for a quote at organizer@articulated.co.za. You can also visit our website at www.articulated.co.za.
Like to encourage our audience to follow Articulated Plumber on Instagram and Facebook, not only to find out more about the Man in the Van podcast, but also to learn more about any exciting and interesting news that we may have. Our handle on both Instagram and Facebook is Articulated Plumber. Once again, I want to thank you for your time and your effort and having joined me in studio today, having come through all the way from Joburg side. I think the valuable information that you've shared with the audience, whether they be in the plumbing industry themselves, whether they be consumers, it carries a lot of weight.
I can say thank you for the opportunity, you know, from a personal side, but also from my OPSA. you know, we're trying there, we are out there, we're trying to improve the industry to the benefit of the consumer.
Mm.
So thank you for the opportunity. And I would like to invite the consumers to go and have a look on the websites. Go and have a look on the IOPSA website and on the PERB website. And I think you will realize there's much more involved in plumbing than just water at a tap and a toilet that flushes.
And what meets the eye.
That's it. But thank you once again for the opportunity.
Lastly, thanks again to you, the listener out there, having joined us for this episode. We do believe that this message carries a lot of weight to you. Finally, it's time to switch off this engine. Cheerio.
Man in the Van Podcast, your regular audio drive time companion.